think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
United Airlines is attempting to reassure passengers following multiple flight and safety problems on its Boeing jets this year. The company vowing to add more training for pilots and technicians. In a memo to customers, CEO Scott Kirby writes this: "You can be confident that every time a United plane pulls away from the gate, everyone on our team is working together to keep you safe on your trip." United Airlines has had at least 10 incidents in the past 2 weeks, including one plane losing a tire shortly after takeoff.
The CEO may be saying that we should all be confident. Let me tell you, as a congressman who sits on the Transportation Committee, I am not confident. You know what I'm confident of, by the way? China is working hard. China is getting now, as you know, into the airline industry. China isn't worried about being a giant social experiment. They want to have the best planes, the fastest planes, the safest planes, the most cutting-edge planes. That should be the American policy and the American philosophy. That is what always the United States of America has stood up for, whether it was with our military or in our private sector.
Absolutely. And again, that's Maria Bartiromo talking about the troubles with Boeing and how some of the airlines are now trying to make sure their passengers know you're going to be safe on board this plane. And her interview was with New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew, and he correctly pointed out China is simply working to build the best jets, the best they can. They're not worried about woke and pronouns and spending time and training on that. Is that part of our issue? It could well be. But the other thing is just probably best looked at how a statement was from the FAA. The FAA chief admits there are issues around the safety culture at Boeing. That's the FAA, the chief of the FAA. There are issues around the safety culture at Boeing. Now, you're trying to think, well, they can't be that careless. I mean, maybe they or members of their family would be flying on a Boeing. I'm looking at a piece from the BBC asking, how much trouble is Boeing in? And one captain said, it's as if I'm watching a troubled child. That's how he describes flying a Boeing 737 MAX. The lead spokesman of the Allied Pilots Association, the Pilots Union for American Airlines, insists he would never board an aircraft if it were not safe, but he says he can no longer take the quality of the plane he's flying for granted. He said, I'm at alert status that I've never had to be in on a Boeing airplane because I don't trust that they follow the processes that have previously kept me safe on Boeing airplanes for 3 decades. Then you have, according to the BBC, executives at the aerospace giant's shiny new headquarters in Arlington, Virginia, could be forgiven for feeling like they're under siege because every day more headlines for the company, which is coming under pressure from regulators and airlines. All of it began recently in January when an emergency exit door that was not actually to be used blew off a plane. And you know why? Because there were 4 boats missing that should have been put in. That simple of an item. And another one the other day had parts of a plane fall off. They were looking over the runway to see if maybe the parts had landed there. They don't know where it went. It just fell off, but it wasn't essential to the plane. But again, that is part of the plane. And Boeing is reportedly facing a criminal investigation on the incident, and I mentioned that those 4 boats were missing. And there was no one sitting next to that section. They were in the row, but not absolutely next to the hull of the plane. Otherwise, they might have been sucked out. It wouldn't be the first time something like that has happened. Apparently, one young boy sitting nearby had his shirt just stripped of him because of the sudden gust. The only saving grace for the plane and the passengers, it was not yet at a high altitude. maybe 12, 14,000 feet, which is another issue we've heard. Oxygen masks aren't deploying as they should. Generally, when you're in a jetliner, they're pressurizing it as they go up. That means the plane is actually looking at it in the sense of expanding. I could use the term blowing up, but I don't want you to get confused. The plane fuselage is expanding a bit as you get higher. And at 12,000 feet plus, you've got to have oxygen delivered to you. Even if you're a private pilot, you as a pilot can fly, but your passengers must be on oxygen. At 14,000 feet, everybody has to be on oxygen. So if you're at 30,000 feet and you have that blowout like they did, the whole plane could have come down. And here's the other issue. Before I get to it, let me set the stage for you. Here we are, March 19, 2024, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. We're here every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we're streaming video for you at Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter, or News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. You miss anything, audio or video, it is posted later at LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. So if you miss anything, make sure you go back and pull it up and then share it with others. You folks are multiplying our audience just by doing that, and I thank you, and our sponsors, thank you. So Congressman Jeff Van Drew was talking about, you know, in China, they're just looking at building the best planes they can. They're not worried about woke culture. With the FAA head is saying, we were worried about the Boeing safety culture. That tells me that Boeing is not on the right culture path, obviously. Not for you and your safety and your family. But then Congressman Jeff Van Drew brings up, where can they get the cheapest parts?
Now we're having a giant social experiment. We're globalizing. We are sending out and trying to get the cheapest parts and materials we can. And worst of all, we're having the social experiment within Boeing. They're more concerned, if you look at what they put online over the last few years, about DEI and or are we looking like we're the cool kids on the block and all the right things to say. Damn it, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to rely on China just as we are for batteries for electric cars. Well, it's going to happen with transportation as well. We're going to rely on China for our airlines. If I was to say anything, Maria, I would say to them, cut it out.
Cut it out. Well, they apparently are cutting out some things, but are they cutting out the wrong things? And if they're always looking for the cheapest part, if that's being made by China, is that really what you want to put on these planes flying for U.S. customers, much less our military? All right, then we have the issue of the chaos at the border continues.
You know, it's my understanding there have been a lot of drone incursions along our southern border. How many drone incursions have we had, and what are they doing?
I have talked to Customs and Border Protection, who are responsible for the UAS incursions and in the border, along with DOJ, and they put the number at thousands.
Over what period of time is that, thousands?
I would say in the probably over a month.
Thousands of drones over the border in a month? Why? Well, in part helping smuggle drugs, and in part monitoring their cartel members as they go across or others. Not one of those drones, if they're not controlled by the government or local ranchers in the area trying to protect their property, are doing any good for the American people. And they've had thousands of drones seen over our southern border just in 1 month's time. That's Lieutenant General Gallant testifying before Congress. That's something to keep in mind. Here's something else. The New York Post is reporting that, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol data, more than 12,200 migrants were apprehended crossing illegally from Canada last year. 12,200. That's a 240% surge from the year before. Much of the illegal crossings, about 70%, occurring over about a 300-mile section, which includes upstate New York, New Hampshire, and Vermont. And in that sector, 3,100 people from 55 different countries apprehended just since October. More than the total of the past four fiscal years combined. Now, the experts who make it to Mexico can afford a $350 one-way ticket from Mexico City or Cancun to Montreal or Toronto, and then they think, you know, maybe we'll find it easier to come across the border at the north. Now, it's very treacherous if you're trying to do it during the winter. You get caught in some of those snows and bad weather in that area, you're not going to make it out. But, of course, trying to come up from south of our border, the heat and so forth, you might not make that either. It is smaller, obviously much smaller than what we have with Mexico, but the U.S. border with Canada is longer than the border we have with Mexico, and the ports of entry are really understaffed because they've been focusing on this. The entire Customs Border Patrol of the U.S. have been focusing on our migration at the southern border. And yet they still caught 12,200. New York Assemblyman pointing out the northern border has been pretty much ignored. Once again, the government is, quote, failing on immigration. They're failing the people that live along the border. They say often folks find people in their barns or garages trying to get out of the cold. In the beginning, when the illegals started coming across our southern border, there were some that said, you know, I'm not going to stay here in the U.S. because they may decide to kick us out. Let's just continue going north. They were then trying to sneak into Canada. Canada has strong border laws. If they catch you coming across the border into Canada, they will arrest your ass and they will ship it out after whatever else they want to do to you. But we now have folks from all over the world, apparently, 55 different countries saying, maybe I can get in the U.S. easier through Canada and maybe not be detected. And we're already worried about the numbers coming through that are undetected. All right, yesterday the Supreme Court heard the Missouri and Louisiana case on how the government controls, maybe dictates to social media, even if social media is willing to be subject to the Biden crown.
Imagine federal officials taking that approach to the print media, our representatives over there. If you did that to them, what do you think the reaction would be? And so I thought, you know, the only reason why this is taking place is because the federal government has got Section 230 and antitrust in its pocket, and it's, to mix my metaphors, and it's got these big clubs available to it. And so it's treating Facebook and these other platforms like their subordinates. Would you do that to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Associated Press or any other big newspaper or wire service?
So there's a lot packed in there. I want to give you one very specific answer first and then step back out to the broader context. So specifically, you mentioned demanding an answer right away and cursing them out. The only time that happens is in an email that's about the president's own Instagram account. It's not about moderating other people's
content. Okay, we'll put that aside. There's all the rest. Constant meetings, constant emails. We want answers. Right. We're partners. We're on the same team. Do you think that the print media regards themselves as being on the same team as the federal government, partners with the federal government?
No, they don't. That is, again, Justice Alito asking the federal prosecutor, counselor in this case, Brian Fletcher, does it seem right that the media, the social media, and the government are on the same basic plan, that one, the social media companies are subject to the federal government? And would they do that? He said, maybe I'm naive. Would they do that with the publications? Actually, Judge, they have. They did it with the Hunter Biden laptop story. There's a perfect example there. And they were told, except for the New York Post, which had already broken the story, that story's a lie, it's Russian collusion, don't run it. New York Times didn't run it, didn't give it any credence. Neither did other major liberal publications until 18 plus months after the election. So yeah, they bought and sold into the same liberal philosophy. But then the Justice Alito raises more questions to Brian Fletcher.
So, constant meetings, constant emails. We want answers. Right. We're partners. We're on the same team. Do you think that the print media regards themselves as being on the same team as the federal government, partners with the federal government?
So potentially in the context of an effort to get Americans vaccinated during a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And I really think that piece of context, it doesn't change the First Amendment principles, but it's relevant to how they apply here. And I think it's important to understand that at this time, this was a time when thousands of Americans were still dying every week, and there was a hope that getting everyone vaccinated could stop the pandemic. And there was a concern that Americans were getting their news about the vaccine from these platforms, and the platforms were promoting, not just posting, well, but promoting bad information.
I understand all that, and I know the objectives were good. But once again, they were also getting their news from the print media and the broadcast media and cable media, and I just can't imagine the federal government doing that to them. But maybe I'm naive. Maybe.
Well, you're not naive. They were doing it. And that's to say that the government was deciding what's fact and what's not. And how many of you got banned from Facebook or Twitter because you put up reference, well, you know, ivermectin worked for us, or can we try something else, or I'm against vaccinations? And you got banned because they were subject to the federal government saying, you know, they shouldn't be able to say that. You must put a disclaimer on every time they say anything about COVID. I told you that even if I said, here's how you spell COVID on my Facebook, I got a notice from the federal government. For correct and factual information, go to CDC, point, blah, 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 blah. That's how inane it got. But then you have the newest justice, Justice Ketanji Jackson Brown, and she is more than willing to give up the First Amendment because she says it's really not that valuable.
There may be circumstances in which the government could prohibit certain speech on the internet or otherwise. I mean, do you disagree that we would have to apply strict scrutiny and determine whether or not there is a compelling interest in how the government has tailored its regulation?
Certainly, Your Honor. I think at the end of every First Amendment analysis, you'll have the strict scrutiny framework in which, you know, in some national security hypos, for example, the government may well be able to demonstrate a compelling interest, may well be able to demonstrate.
All right. Not every situation will in which the government engages in conduct that ultimately has some effect on speech necessarily becomes a First Amendment violation, correct?
Maybe not necessarily, Your Honor. I guess the top line question I would ask is, has the government set out to abridge the freedom of speech? And in this case, you see that time and time again, because if you control...
That's not the test for First Amendment violations.
Your Honor, this flows from the plain text of the First Amendment, right?
No, I understand, but we have a test for a determination of whether or not the First Amendment is actually violated. So in certain situations, the government can actually require that speech be suppressed if there's a compelling interest, right?
In other words, she will find a compelling interest. First Amendment be damned, unless it fits our narrative. Well, coming up, free speech can get you into legal suit with Donald Trump. Got a perfect example of such when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump. No, you
are
shaming
me. You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
Judged and they're shamed, and you're trying to shame me this morning.
I think it's
disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all. I
told my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
You're shaming me for my political choices.
I'm asking you a question about why you endorse someone who's been found liable for rape.
It was not a criminal court, George Stephanopoulos. Do you not know that and understand it? Of course he does, but it doesn't fit the narrative. That is, of course, the interview that took place March 10 on ABC's This Week. South Carolina Congressman Nancy Mace has admitted in the past that when she was 16 years of age, she was raped. She came forward and acknowledged it. Otherwise, we would never know that she did, and I certainly would not be putting her name out there, but she did it. And George Stephanopoulos, this is something else. This troubles me as a man. I want to know how many women are troubled by it. When a man is saying, well, women don't come forward because of. Really? You're qualified to make that statement? Now, I know we can say that based on interviews and what we've seen and heard from women, they don't come forward because maybe they are ashamed. Maybe they felt that they're partly guilty for it. Maybe it involved a member of the family, so more incest than rape, and they don't want to bring more down upon them and their family. Maybe for whatever reason the woman decides she doesn't want to come forward. And maybe it'd be that she won't be believed, especially if it's a man of high power. But Stephanopoulos was trying to take Nancy Mace, who is a victim of a crime. He's trying to make her maybe responsible for encouraging and supporting another rapist. Well, therein, he's wrong. As she quickly and excellently defended Trump on just the points, the legal points. And also added that you're trying to shame me because I want to vote for the man. How does that sit with those of color that have decided they're going to support Trump because they're not getting what they should have been getting or what they were promised by the Democrats over decades and decades and decades? I decided enough of this. You remember Trump when he first ran against Hillary Clinton, speaking to black voters? He said, "Why not give me your vote? What do you got to lose? Basically, you're not getting anything from the Democrats. You haven't, and they're not going to give it to you this time. They'll come pick you up for the election day, make sure you get to the polls, or even bring you extra ballots to fill out if they want to cheat." But here's where the rubber hits the road for President Trump. The statements that Stephanopoulos made repeatedly, stating that Donald Trump was, quote, found liable for rape. No, they didn't. But Stephanopoulos, during the interview, said judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. Now, this is reference the advice columnist E. Jane Carroll, her claim of sexual battery and following defamation lawsuits when Trump tried to put her down in reference to what she looked like or anything else. Aside from that, both of those are civil cases. They're not criminal, which is what Nancy Mace is pointing out. But Stephanopoulos just had to make a big point out of it, saying that you're endorsing Donald Trump, a man found liable for rape. The response from the Trump's attorney, because they're suing Stephanopoulos and ABC for defaming and slander. And the statement from his attorney in a 20-page complaint states, "These statements were and remain false and were made by Stephanopoulos with actual malice or with a reckless disregard for the truth, given that Stephanopoulos knows that these statements are patently and demonstrably false. Indeed, the jury expressly found Trump did not commit rape, and as demonstrated, the defendant was well aware of the jury's finding in his regard, yet still falsely stated otherwise." In other words, reckless disregard of the facts. I don't care what the facts say. I'm going to say he was found guilty of rape because it fits my program and what I'm trying to do with Nancy Mace. And he continued the entire time she was on. Another example.
You're shaming me for my political choices.
I'm asking you a question about why you endorse someone who's been found liable for rape.
It was not a criminal court. But to sit here and ask me as a rape victim to try to shame me for my political choices is wrong. And I think it's offensive.
You can repeat that again and again.
And I'm going to, because I find it deeply offensive.
See, what you're doing is defending a man who's been found liable for rape. I don't understand how you can do that.
Not in a criminal court of law. This was a civil judgment over sexual abuse, not rape, by the way, and she made a mockery out of it.
Can we pull up the Washington Post headline right there? In fact, it has been shown to be rape. The judge affirmed that it was, in fact, rape. Donald Trump was found to have committed rape. That's just a fact.
That is a civil judgment, not a criminal court. They're two very different things, and you know better.
Well, I just showed you the facts.
You know better.
You show that you're very comfortable with what Donald Trump
has done. And what you've done is offensive to women who've been raped. What you've done this morning is offensive.
We'll let the viewers decide about that.
Well, I don't know what the viewers of ABC did, but I found it offensive. And I think most women would, because he's trying to use her as a victim. She's the victim, trying to use her as a reason to denounce Trump just because she's a good political gambit, using the victim. And the other thing that absolutely amazes me about that, when George Stephanopoulos already knows what the facts are, and he kept trying to insist, Quentin, can we air the first part of that last piece again? Because he said something that I've heard before, but I hadn't made a time to break it out separately. I will give you a start-stop when you're ready, sir.
We pull up the Washington Post headline right there. In fact, it has been shown to be rape. The judge affirmed that it was, in fact, rape. Donald Trump was found to have committed rape. That's just a fact.
That is a civil judgment, not a criminal court. They're two very different things, and you know better.
Well, I just showed you the facts.
You know better.
You show that you're very comfortable with what Donald Trump has done.
And what you've done is offensive to women who've been raped. What you've done this morning is offensive.
We'll let the viewers decide about that.
All right. Now, there again, he's shaming her, absolutely shaming her. And he doesn't care. If she says she feels shamed by what he's doing, would he not acknowledge, I apologize, I did not mean to shame you. I am just trying to understand that since you've been a victim of rape, how do you vote for a man, even if he's not convicted of rape, he was charged with, okay, you still want to go with a conviction, but at least in a civil court, he was found guilty of molestation. So how do you reconcile that? There are a lot of ways if he wanted to get into this, he could have. But the first line he crossed was bringing it up. That was the first line. And then once he says, you're shaming me. I got to tell you, on a case like this where we're talking about a victim of rape, the woman, Nancy Mace herself, if I'm doing an interview and they're saying, well, your questions are shaming me, my first response is going to be, I'm truly sorry. That was not my intent. If I shamed you, please accept my apology. Let's move on to something else. And I better be ready with something else. If I was going to build my whole thing on trying to shame her, well, and once she says she feels shamed, where do I have the authority and even the knowledge, much less a reason to say, well, I didn't shame you. If she says you shamed her, you shamed her. Now, if I'm after a politician or some lawbreaker of some type, and they say, well, you're shaming me, and you're shaming my family in the process, I'm going to feel sorry for the family, but I'm still going to go after the person that we're looking at for a possible crime or whatever it might be. But again, they're not convicted, so I could be claiming or rather could be charged with you're harassing someone who's not convicted. Look, there are a lot of things I've done in my career that I'm probably not really proud of when I look back on. Other things I am. And there are times I think I have probably crossed a line. I know I've crossed a line to some extent. But I always was trying honestly to get to the truth. What truth is going to come out of this other than it's her opinion? If she wants to vote for Trump, for whatever reason. But you want to know the real test for George Stephanopoulos? How many black minority voters that are going to go for Trump have you had on say, how can you vote for a man like this? Has he had anybody like that on his air? I don't think so. Not that I watch it all the time, and I'm not encouraging you to either. I mean, we have a saying around here at News Talk STL that we will watch the Sunday shows so you don't have to. And we try to pull some material from them that might work, and in particular in this case, making a point how far they're willing to go on the left to persecute Donald Trump. Nothing Stephanopoulos said prosecutes him. It persecutes him. And now Donald Trump is filing a defamation slander lawsuit against ABC and Stephanopoulos. How much money? Hasn't been stated yet. But I imagine it's going to be more than a dollar. Now, it may be that it comes down to a jury trial, and that's all they give him anyway. This is just a shameful example of progressive media. That I will say. Coming up, Made in America seemed to be a great idea, and then Joe Biden decides, oh, let's just source everything up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, we got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name, or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details, or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
This is News Talk STL.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down, down on my knees and begging, I plead to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw him.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, here's a perfect example of free enterprise and government intervention and basically letting foreign countries take over jobs for Americans. And under the Biden administration, while he will talk about we're going to restore this and do that and do that, he's not doing anything to help American workers and their families. He's pushing the green climate scam, as now Trump is calling it, and I think he's right. Remember, one of the first executive actions he did, in addition to opening the border, was stop the Keystone Pipeline. Because we're not going to rely on fossil fuels anymore, so now everybody's got to go into green energy. But then there were other things he was doing that didn't catch the headlines like that. One is a company called Blue Star NBR, founded in 2021. The goal was producing domestic gloves for use in medical situations. Blue Star says over the decades it has experience in the medical industry. It looks forward to becoming the nation's leader in NBR production. That would be nitrobutadiene rubber. Very easy, pliable, and yet protective, highly protective for you. You see them, paramedics wear them. You see any police officer that's going to search you, they often have on these gloves. You go in an emergency room or just in the hospital to be checked, the staff is going to be putting on some of these gloves. They're very pliable, easy, dexterous, and at the same time, supposedly good barrier from any disease or blood or whatever might get on the examiner, be they a first responder or someone in a hospital. Well, this company has not been producing anything lately because Joe Biden basically, as is written in Breitbart, screwed up Trump's Made in America initiatives. So Donald Trump has been asked, will you want to come up and tour our factory? It's in Virginia. He said, oh, yeah, I'll be glad to come up there. And there's a reason he's willing, more than willing, to go to Virginia, much less this company. I'll break that down in a moment. Blue Star was created to manufacture these gloves domestically. We go through tens of billions of these gloves as healthcare providers, law enforcement, first responders, food handlers. You see them in grocery stores handling your food, getting different things up. They're all wearing them regularly. And when they have different food or a different patient, they're supposed to throw those gloves away and get another fresh pair. The other pair might be perfect, but it's already touched someone or something else, so they don't want to take a chance of cross-contamination. And those gloves apparently became really important when the COVID pandemic broke out. But it also became clear that the Biden presidency decided they wanted more of these gloves from communist China, and has now been increasing exponentially to have these gloves manufactured by the Chinese Communist Party by the end of this year, the majority coming through China. I just told you we use tens of billions. Now, Blue Star Factory is not producing anything right now because they don't have any orders. Everybody's getting them cheaper and through China. And then I'm looking at what's happening with Blue Star. A Virginia Senate candidate said the Biden screw-ups have cost thousands of jobs that would otherwise exist in Virginia. And, of course, Virginia is going to be a very important state. Let me break this part of the story down for you. Trump is going to make a heavy play for Virginia. Democrats have won in all recent elections. Back in previously, Trump said he intends to compete in places like Virginia, Minnesota, New Mexico, New Jersey, and New York. Republicans have won Virginia on every presidential election except one for 50 years. That was when Barack Obama won the presidential election. But since then, they've still held on to the Old Dominion state, as it's known, in the presidential races. So Trump going to see this plant like Blue Star facility highlights the failure of the Biden plan to make America better again, great again, whatever phraseology you want. How about just save American jobs? And Trump, in a quote, said, Biden has taken the money, he's investing it in the Green New Scam. All the money, instead of reducing debt, it's invested in the Green New Scam. And it's being pointed out that it's not just these gloves that's been screwed up, obviously. There are obviously critical personnel protective equipment and other major health equipment, again, that is coming out of China. Why would we do, didn't we not learn from COVID? And our drugs, still a lot of them being made in China, that's not a wise idea. They're not just our enemy, they're a communist party-controlled country. What would be the easiest way to wipe out a population? Send over aspirin, Tylenol, Advil, Leave, whatever you want that has a little something-something in it. I've always said, you know, the quickest way to kill a newsroom? Please don't anyone take this and do it and then blame me for giving you the idea. But let me put it this way. Not even a newsroom, your office, wherever you work. Somebody brings a box of cookies in. Everybody can have some cookies or frosted cupcakes. Everybody's going to grab one, right? Then they're all sick. In addition to the gloves, syringes, which would be used to deliver drugs intravenously for you, most of them still made in China. And the Biden administration, it seems to be just as happy as they can be with it. No concern, nothing to worry about. until it's too late. Same thing with the border. Everything this administration has touched will go upside down at some point, and there are going to be people dying. And the nation itself is going to be under direct threat. I don't care if you are a Trump hater or you're a firm Democrat. You've always voted Democrat and never going to vote Republican. I don't care if you're an independent. You're still undecided. I don't know how the hell you can't be decided by now, but so be it. Unless you really want to destroy this country, you must support candidates. And in this case, it's Trump leading the Republican Party. But also when it comes to Senate, House, on Congress, and then in your state legislatures and in your school boards and your county elections, you've got to support candidates that are patriots. They want this country to succeed and put a stop to the sellout. Which is a good time to remind you, by the way, if you're ever asked, News Talk STL is number one for the most live and local conservative talk in St. Louis. And part of that is George Soros is buying up the Odyssey stations, 200 plus across the nation, 5 in the St. Louis market. And I will guarantee you they will not allow a conservative word to be heard on those stations going forward. And I have a lot of friends that work at those stations, and I pray for them and their families because I don't have any idea what's going to happen to their jobs. I doubt it's going to be good. And whether or not you consider yourself a conservative, an independent, are you a patriot? If you're a patriot, you belong with this station, and you belong with Larry Connors USA. That is my ultimate goal and push, in addition to protecting our children from predators, either preying on their mind or their bodies, and protecting the unborn. I'm firm on those points. Are we in agreement together? Good. Well, then let me ask you this. Not trying to put a scare into you, but are you afraid of flying? Are you afraid of flying, especially on Boeing planes? Is that a valid fear? Here's New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew.
Now we're having a giant social experiment. We're globalizing. We are sending out and trying to get the cheapest parts and materials we can. And worst of all, we're having the social experiment within Boeing. They're more concerned, if you look at what they put online over the last few years, about DEI and or are we looking like we're the cool kids on the block and all the right things to say. Damn it, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to rely on China just as we are for a batteries for electric cars. Well, it's going to happen with transportation as well. We're going to rely on China for our airlines. If I was to say anything, Maria, I would say to them, cut it out.
That is Congressman Jeff Van Drew, New Jersey, on an interview with Maria Bartiromo. So we're relying on their medicines. We're relying on their syringes. We're relying on the gloves. Now we're going to rely on parts for their planes, for Boeing and other aircraft manufacturers. How cheap can we get it? What are the chances it would fail? Well, it might increase. Boeing's issues, though, might be more than just the parts it's getting. It could be a culture inside. In fact, an FAA chief inspector said there is a safety culture issue in Boeing. We're not talking about they using the right pronouns, but again, as you heard Jeff Van Drew say, they've been priding themselves on how great we are and how woke we are. You can do that with Walt Disney all day long. I don't like it. I don't want the kids going there and being exposed to it. But when you're messing with lives in the air, that's an entirely different situation. Boeing's response, of course, has been that we're doing great. We're going to take care of things as we should. And to that extent, they agreed to pay $2.5 billion, to settle fraud charges and admit deception. This is in later court hearings. It formally pled not guilty, facing widespread accusation that it put profits ahead of passengers' lives. And the chief executive of Boeing in early 2020, reaffirmed our commitment to safety, saying we promised we could do better, much better. Yet the scrutiny that followed the incident in January this year, that's when that part of the plane, the door that was really a door plug, simply blew out. And why did it blow out? There were four bolts that were never put in. Somebody's got some splaining to do. Thank God nobody died in it. There is a piece written by BBC I was reading in the last hour, but let me share some of it with you here. They're talking to a Boeing 737 MAX pilot. He's a captain. He's a lead association, the Allied Pilots Association, the Pilots Union for American Airlines. And he insists he would never board an aircraft if not safe. Well, I wouldn't either. I'm a pilot. Well, let me put it this way. I have a pilot's license. This guy flying a 737, that's a real pilot. But I have a license. It's like you having a license to drive a car, but you're not A.J. Foyt, you know, or some comparable racer like that. But he said, I'm at alert status that I've never been on Boeing planes before because I don't trust that they followed the processes that previously kept me safe on Boeing planes for three decades. Now, when Boeing and McDonnell Douglas merged, things changed. Some say that there went the quality. It all became the bottom line. I know people that work at the Boeing facility in St. Louis. I have a lot of friends there. I don't know the people that now work at their new headquarters in Virginia, nor do I know any that were with the facility they had up in, before McDonnell Douglas, Boeing facility up in Seattle. But let me give you some examples. The FAA at one point warned that improperly installed wiring bundles on 737 MAX planes could become damaged, leading to controls on the wings deploying unexpectedly, making the aircraft start to roll over. As a private pilot in some of our testing, we were doing rolls just to see if I could recover from them. And I've been up with the Blue Angels. When they do a roll, I'm counting on them to know what they're doing. And again, that the plane is properly maintained and built. For the Blue Angels, I had no doubt it was being maintained. And, of course, we pointed out last week that a whistleblower had worked at the Boeing factory in South Carolina from 2010 until his retirement in 2017, was a whistleblower. And he said the rush was to build planes as quickly as possible to maximize profits that led to unsafe practices. And he was found dead in his car the other day. Gunshot wound to the head. It's being classified for now as a suicide. But the investigator sheriff said, I think we're going to have to look at this a little closer. I'm not ready to declare suicide at this point. We have these Boeing planes all across the various airlines. I do not want you to be worried about flying on them, but I can't take away that worry, that fear you already have it. There are people that already too don't like flying anyway. And this is not going to help. The executive director of the Foundation for Aviation Safety says the issues are complex but fixable. He's a former Boeing whistleblower, and he's been pointing out Boeing, their suppliers, airlines, government agencies are capable of overcoming these challenges, but they have to need to admit these problems exist. That's the starting point. As always, I appreciate your listening. Let your friends and family know about the program so they can. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.